Yo, what up? I actually have never done this one before, so I'm not quite sure. This is the
Yeah.
Patreon video, the post show for Blade Season 1, Episode 13. I'm just gonna let John take it
I
at
almost
this
did it
point.
reflexively.
I was like, oh wait, should I? I should have just put there
You are
again.
better at it than I am, but I almost did it anyway. Yeah, thanks for supporting us, patrons. We're going to talk about episode 13 and what happened tonight, and some give you some behind the scenes sneak peeks into what we were thinking. And this one is unique. I alluded to it a little bit at the end of the stream there that often I'm not the type of GM that like plans out like first they'll go here and then this will happen and then this thing will happen. It's usually pretty fluid. But we were trying to hit a target. We were like, okay, this is where we want to end up at the end of season one, because we really want on Sunday we want to start out with a bang, of well, not action this time, but like information. We want to get everyone, all the new viewers in, so they can understand what the show is, what we're trying to do. You guys are assassins. Here's a new suite of targets for you to go after. So we had a little powwow over Skype and email before this session to kind of lay the groundwork and set expectations for what we were trying to do tonight. Not really like scene by scene, but more like this is what we're trying to accomplish during our 4 hours this evening. What did you guys think? Was that okay? Did it feel
Oh,
awkward,
yeah.
or did it feel okay to do it that way?
No,
Not
I
too
loved
bad.
it. I mean, it's a game, and that's obviously at its core what we're doing, but it's also a show. You know, we keep referencing perspective, and we want the up and down. But I think what makes it so cool and so awesome is that it is a show, but maybe Aldo just gets shot 7 times in the chest, and then we have to deal with that. And maybe Carolus doesn't make the jump and lands on his head and breaks his neck. Like, these are. That's what makes it really fun and exciting while still being entertaining. I enjoy the line it walks.
Yeah,
Yeah,
cool. Oh, sorry.
I mean, well, I just want to echo, like, I really liked how tonight played out. I mean, John, you've kind of been really good about letting us sort of freestyle a bit with the game. And one of those things in particular, which was kind of a reveal, is that I had taken this skill, like looking into a mirror. And when I first took it, I actually asked John. I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if I could like somehow tie this to like the artifacts that I had found off of Lord Sucre. He was like, yeah, let's do it. But we kind of like kept it, and I never really had a chance to use it. There's one time, but it didn't come out. So I just love that sort of slow burn of that, like to be able to, as a player, sort of have the freedom to just draw. You know, I mentioned to you in the email, like, I want to reveal a secret room where I've been working on all this shit, and just kind of letting me do that. Like, that was awesome. I thank you for that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man,
I like the balance of like the things that everyone kind of has planned. Like, I'm sure all of us has our ideas of like where our character goes, but I also really liked this episode of with John being like, and then Salia does this, and all of us were just like, wait, what? Because I was completely blown away by that reveal. I wasn't expecting it at all. So that was also really cool to like have that moment built in, and the genuine surprise from all of us as we experienced it live.
Yeah, you drew it out long enough, you dick.
Yeah, I, as I said during the stream, that was not my part of my plan.
Right.
I was planning on that at some point. You know, you guys have the means to discover that, and it's a thing that has been in the background. But when we were planning this episode, like, how do we want to end? What's the final sort of moment or whatever? And I was looking at that conspiracy map and thinking of like the thing that might be. The first thing Salia tells you will be about probably having to do with Bell or something like that. That'll be the bomb to drop at the end to kind of tie it off. But then Carolus's offhand kind of trust in her and just the way he behaved made me totally rethink what I was doing there. So it's cool. It was like a nice combination of a strange amount of planning that we don't normally do, but then also like total improvisation at the end that came out of the role play between all of our characters and who they are inside as people, not just mechanics or numbers. But speaking of that, the other thing I wanted to hit on was an interesting moment. There were a lot of fun moments tonight, but something that I think is interesting to gamers in general is the interaction at the end there with having the showdown with Master Helker and being like, hey, the war's over, you're done, you got to surrender. And I thought that would be the scene. And then Carolus throwing in like, yeah, we're going to twist the knife. You're going to pay us money
to not kill you,
not kill you, which was great. And that's how it should be. Like, that felt very genuine to the setting. It felt like what a Duskwall game would do in that situation. But then when the real kind of the heated moment came up, as a role player, I think it's an interesting space. Like, do you always keep control of your character and like decide what they do next? Or do you sometimes throw it out to the dice? And we're always throwing it out to the dice in terms of their ability to do things. But Jeff did that thing tonight where he kind of let the dice say what he thought, you know, what he felt, how he reacted. What do you guys think of that in general as a technique?
I like that as like the method of dealing with, because he knew what he thought he was going to do and was like, okay, well, whether or not Carolus does this is, I'm just going to leave this up to the dice, rather than saying, what do you guys think I should do? You know, it was kind of more of just, I mean, literally chance, rather than sitting around and planning, you know, okay, well, if I do this, then they're going to attack us, and like, you know, the back and forth. It was just, I'm just going to roll a die and see what happens.
It's really fun because Carolus is like, he's another experiment for me where I'm not doing a character that's necessarily like, I'm not fully able to put my head in the place that I think he's in, because I'm trying as hard as I can to do a character that's not human, that doesn't think or talk or act like humans, because he's not that. So he doesn't understand that. So a lot of the choices I make, I try to role play that, but there have been a few situations where I'm like, I'm going to do this and the dice are just going to decide it. And it's not because I think that's super mega cool, or I'm like, I like gambling or something like that. It's more because I think it is 50-50, but it's not, I can't tip that one way or the other, because I have a different perspective than what he does. So like the reason I did that dice roll was because he thinks handshakes are incredibly important, because as a demon, part of his lore that will come out is that he was one of the like deal maker demons. Like, he wasn't a general, he wasn't like a foot soul slogger or anything like that. He was someone that went and sealed deals and put things together. And when he wants to shake your hand, that's his way of sealing a deal. And like, you don't know it, but you're like signing something pretty big away to him, not your soul or something like that, because he doesn't have that power. But to him, it's really important. So when Helker wouldn't shake his hand to seal the deal of their pact, he was going to kill him because he's no longer the leader. He was like, well, you're not in charge anymore.
Interesting. Yeah.
But he also, the reason it was a dice off was because he actually does care about the group. That's something that's also emerging and coming through. He almost jokes and he's like uncomfortable with it. So that's why he's kind of even more weird the last few episodes. Mm-hmm. But he knew that if the war was going to continue, or there was a chance for this to get more complicated when we have bigger fish to fry, that would be a little bit of a problem. So he thought about it.
Yeah, I like
By the
that.
Way, I think you've been doing a great job, Jeff, from that perspective.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I think that's been one of the enjoyable parts of this show, is just your approach to that character. So well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like we've all hit – it's interesting, and we've talked about this before, I think, on the post-show, but the show in general, our setup for the show is so – straightforward, kind of like, we're a group of assassins, send us at targets and we kill them, kind of no questions asked from the early days of the show. And it teetered on the brink of being very mechanical, kind of like, yeah, we're just, there's a new target, you go kill them, like, next, and we're just like rinse and repeat. But you guys really, I feel, have stepped up in a big way by making characters that are in that position of being these killers, but they have this, there's an internal life to them that keeps them from just pulling the trigger on dudes over and over, which we do sometimes in a very cold-hearted way. But I think it's worth watching because of who these people are as people.
On that particular note, I almost want to give like a, I mean, I think I everyone does such a great job, but on that specific note, I think Zeke is one of the biggest emotional catalysts for that development early on in the show. Like, he started that kind of like that back and forth with Carolus, the emotional charge with Rune, and even like the lie sequence with Miss Cadaby, where that was also really telling and kind of interesting. And that allowed for Marcus to have a really cool and display a moment where she's like, fuck it, I lied, deal with it. And we're all like, well, that's, you know, that's a development. That's kind of cool. So Zeke, you've done a great job with that in particular.
Oh, thank you. Those are the moments I always look for. The times, and I find myself looking for more of those kinds of things, and I just don't want to feel like this is a personal role play thing that I sometimes I tend to do. I hope it doesn't feel like I'm trying to shoehorn in moments like that, because I really do try and look for them a lot, and sometimes I end up stomping on people's, like, interrupting them and that kind of stuff. So I hope it doesn't feel like that because of how, you know, thoroughly I search for those moments.
No, I mean, you and Anne's scene is still, I think, the greatest moment of role-playing I've ever seen. And we were all talking over each other today, but I think it was mostly because we're so eager to to keep it going. So, I mean, that'll happen. But no, I don't feel like any of those were forced at all. I liked it because, like I said, I'm so used to going into a scene and being like, okay, this is probably what's going to happen. But I'm finding more and more that my real enjoyment is having ideas bounce off of people or have them surprise me and then seeing what happens with dice rolls and with the interactions. And that's been so fun. Like, when I was super certain I was going to hide the book from you, the chat was going to be like, oh, fuck, he's got this thing. And it's going to be like this real poisonous thing going on in the background. But then I failed, and you succeeded. You're like, now you're lying. And I'm like, okay, what would Carolus do? Yeah. So, it was fun for me, though, because I thought I was going to go, you know, I'm so used to my dice being very, very good that I didn't see it any other way. It's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's very important, too, that when we were talking about it today on the email thread or Skype or somewhere, where, Jeff, you said, like, I was unable to lie to Aldo before, and then you followed up in like all caps, you were like, I can't lie to him. And I think that's a cool twist on that idea. Like, it's not like mechanically it's a little unclear, you know, can you just try again? Can you make another roll? Can you do it again? Can you lie? But there's this idea in gaming called Let It Ride, which is from the Burning Wheel RPG, that just says like, yeah, no, sometimes you let it ride. Sometimes you get an outcome and you go, yeah, this is now the case. Like, until something really changes it, you've established a new situation. And the situation is Carolus can't lie to Aldo. We asked the question, can he do it? And the answer was no. Mm-hmm. And you decided to kind of let it ride on that outcome, which is cool. That's a fun mechanic to play around with, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm excited because Aldo asked the hard questions, so I'm like,
yeah,
almost uncomfortable around him.
Yep.
I don't know if there's like a shift or whatever, but I want to say that after like 13 weeks, I feel like I'm starting to get a hang of the game.
Good.
I mean, right? Like, I feel like I have to ask less questions. Like, I still feel like probably my biggest confusion was kind of in the risky, control, desperate, but like as the show's gone on, it like makes more and more sense as to like, you know, how it's done. You know, I don't know what the average game session, right? Because we do like 4-hour sessions or 3-hour sessions. I don't know what you think is like the normal amount of time it takes someone to get into the game, but it's been the last few weeks where I've started to feel more comfortable, I think, overall.
I think I've picked up on that. Yeah, it seems like that's the case. And it's tricky. I feel like this atmosphere makes it a lot harder. If you're at the table and you have the sheets printed in front of you that have the mechanic on them, you don't have to switch a bunch of screens to see stuff. It's just like always sitting there right in front of you. That makes it a lot easier to pick up on these things. And the dice are out in front of everyone. It's very easy to see what's going on. And even though we have the benefit of all these different environments in Roll 20 to switch among and have a bigger play space than we normally would, you do have to switch. You know, you have to like look at the PDF and then look at Roll 20, and you know, I think that impedes for some type of learners, people, if you're not like an auditory learner or whatever, if you learn better by seeing stuff or whatever, I think that can make it tough to pick up on things. So I think this is pretty typical in terms of learning a game, especially in a stream situation. But at the same time too, like, having system mastery is great, and this is a game that rewards it. I think we've seen that a few times when I'm thinking of you in particular, Marcus, where you've been like, actually, that's my last XP, and actually, I'm going to buy this ability right now, and I'm going
right.
to use it. Mm-hmm. That stuff is really good, but also it's okay. I think it's fine if you're in a space where you're just like, I don't know what to do, John. This is what my character tries to do. You tell me what to roll and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I think that's okay. That's not a big problem. Like it would be in Pathfinder or something where you really need to know all mm-hmm. of the feats exactly. And, you know, this game is kind of in the middle, I think, of how much mastery you need to have over the mechanics.
And speaking of visualizing stuff, I don't. We probably talked about this last week, but it bears re-mentioning. I absolutely love that I can see that everyone can see my stress, and I can see everybody else's stress.
Yeah,
I can see like the injuries and shit. So I'm not like, "Hey, Rune, why don't you lightning this shit up again?"
Yeah.
And I'm not, so I can look at the stress and go, okay, let's gonna figure something else out.
I was still like that though. I was like, get that trauma.
Get that trauma. Rune, you need a trauma. I agree.
I know. I'm waiting for the right moment.
Never.
It's fine, it's fine.
It'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I want it to be the right moment.
I'm like nervously teetering on the edge of wanting a second and third because I can become more powerful, but I'm like, but then a bad engagement, I'm just out. I'm like, nah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
I think one is the safe zone.
Yeah.
The it first feels kind of safe at one. I agree
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Tree. Well, cool. I think that's about our time for our post show.
Awesome.
I'm about to reflexively
wrap it up, dude. Yeah, wrap it there. Up.
Yeah. Do it.
Thank you, patrons, for supporting JP on Patreon. Thank you, JP, for producing this super fun show that we love so much. And we will see you all in the next one on Sunday at 11 Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for the beginning of Season 2. Thanks for watching.
Bye.